Welcome to Forward Thinking, a podcast from Foundation Source. I'm your host, Dori Krieger. Foundation Source is the nation's largest provider of comprehensive support services for private foundations, bringing unparalleled knowledge and expertise to over 1,200 clients across the country. The best ideas in philanthropy aren't always the tried and true. Trailblazing entrepreneurs and next-generation philanthropists are transforming the sector with inspiring ideas and innovative strategies. Join us as we explore the advice, experience, and insight of some of the creative minds shaping our collective future. Private foundations are increasingly seeing for-profit investments as a tool for social good, sometimes a better tool than grants alone. Indeed, impact investing is an established trend in philanthropy. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Kristen Hull, educator, entrepreneur, philanthropist, and advocate for impact investing, particularly among family foundations. Kristen began her career as a bilingual educator. Interested in innovative solutions for social change, she entered the field of impact investing while serving as a board member for various nonprofit organizations. After the sale of her family's business, she helped align 100% of the family foundation assets to mission-related investments, and then started the NIA Community Fund, a private foundation concentrating on social equity and environmental sustainability in Oakland, California. Kristen, thank you for joining me in the studio.
Thank you for having me, Dori.
So you're a champion of impact investing and often help family foundations get started. And I think impact investing is, it's a trending phrase, obviously, but it's really hard to get your arms around it sometimes. There are so many different definitions of it. How do you define impact investing?
That's such a good question, Dori. And really, it can be a lot simpler than it's made out to be. So really, it's looking at investments with a triple bottom line. So in addition to financial returns, can you achieve a social mission or an environmental mission along with your financial returns?
So what exactly do you mean by triple bottom line?
So we're looking at, instead of what a traditional financial advisor would say is you might get 3% over a six-year period, or you might get a 2% with this risk value. What we're also looking at are the things within the company. So whether it is run by a diverse team, whether the product is serving women and girls, whether we're thinking about climate change and maybe addressing some of the issues, particularly for foundations. It's really exciting because foundations, by definition, have goals and a mission. Mm-hmm. And so with their grant budget, they're trying to achieve that mission. And then there's a 95% of the endowment that can also work towards that mission through those investments.
When did you first hear about impact investing, or when did you start learning about the concept?
In 2007 was when I started to really get involved with our family foundation, and I went to my first conference, and it was the Global Philanthropy Forum, and I knew nothing about philanthropy. The closest I had really, I think the most I had participated in philanthropy was maybe buying Girl Scout cookies before we sold our company. And so this was really an opportunity for me to learn how to do great philanthropy. And at that conference, there was a session called 2%, and I didn't know what that was, so I went. And it was a lot of large foundations trying to persuade some of the other foundations to put 2% of their endowment towards their mission. And the light bulb went off for me, and I said, we can put 100% of our endowment towards our mission and have every one of those dollars be tools towards the goals of our foundation.
So you went from 2% to 100% in just one conference session.
I did.
What was it about that conversation where you said, okay, 2% is great, but I want to go for the 100?
Well, you know, it just mathematically, I know that most foundations, and this was true of ours, is we were spending so much time and so much effort on doing the grant making. And I realized that that was a tiny percent of our budget, and that really the endowment was where the significant money was. And how could I use that and increase the tools in my toolbox by using that money to also address our social justice and environmental sustainability mission?
So what did you do next? What happened after you went to this conference and you come away so inspired and you're like, okay, I'm ready to roll, guys. What did you do?
Well, it was a really exciting time. We were working with Imprint Capital at the time, and they helped us identify 7 different community banks that were doing awesome work. So everything that really were working towards addressing our mission, everything from financial literacy, community loans for small community businesses, startups, underserved populations. And so we identified those banks and we put our entire endowment into cash in those seven banks.
Did you have a hard time convincing your other family members that this was a great idea?
Luckily, we were pretty aligned.
Oh, that's
I know
great.
That some families have a really hard time with that. And in this case, our family was together on that.
How do you respond to the challenge that I often hear that impact investing doesn't necessarily yield the returns that a traditional portfolio would?
Right. It's such a great question, and it really is a myth. So we have lots of research now that is going to back up, and it's just growing. So I think that we'll be okay. The proof is really in the pudding, and the returns are there. And then some of the research I'm referring to are lots of studies on diverse management. And so companies that have women in leadership outperform their counterpart companies. That's similar for other diversity. And so there's all sorts of research that we're going to see increasingly where when the mission is baked into the practices of the company, that the financial returns are also there.
Why is impact investing so important to you?
So I've gotten really excited about doing this work because I grew up in a family. My dad started a training business in our garage, and I learned so much from him mm-hmm. about financial markets and about how these large systems worked in our economy and in our capitalist system. And so now, given my educational background and everything I know about investing that I've learned from my dad, I get to use that for good. And I like to find the meaning in all of these investments and help people feel really aligned with their money. I think also the effectiveness, particularly for foundations where you can use those endowment dollars to work towards your mission as well, it feels very efficient. And the fact that we can leverage that money is exciting.
So when you think about your grant making strategy, you're not thinking about just the 5%. You're looking at your total portfolio.
I'm looking at full portfolio activation.
And how do you go about that?
Whatever the goals are of the foundation, looking at how you can use financial tools as in addition to the grants. And so what's exciting, sometimes you might be doing a grant to a nonprofit where maybe a loan would be really serving them just as well or more. Particularly, another tool that foundations can use is the loan guarantee. So that's where you're not even moving a dollar from your endowment, but you're going mm-hmm. to help them guarantee a loan so that your favorite business or nonprofit can actually get the loan, whether it's to buy a building or to do the next project. So there's lots of tools that foundations can use.
I would love to talk to you about the divest invest movement, which is something that I just learned about this summer, this whole divestment in certain investments. Would love to hear more about that.
Sure. So, Dori, I signed on as a signatory right away because when I first heard about it, I said, absolutely, this is really important. And the reasons I thought it was really important is because, one, it gives us the opportunity to really look at our investments and just check out what we're holding. And the conversations, once we become conscious of everything that's in our funds, can be really exciting about talking about values and what those companies are doing in the world. A couple of points on the divest that I find really interesting mm-hmm. are that when we were doing this work about South Africa many decades ago, that ask was much bigger. The amount of the S&P was about 48% of the S&P was involved in South Africa. And so to ask people to get rid of all of those companies in their portfolio was a really big ask, and it was difficult for financial managers to wrap their heads around. With the divest invest movement about fossil fuels, it's really only about 7% of an average portfolio. So the ask is very different, and I think the timing is right.
That's a good point.
The other thing that's really exciting for me is that the movement really has started on college campuses with our young people. And so having them feel so impassioned in doing all this work, I think we owe it to them to really look at what it is we're holding and why. Another point for me that I found out at a conference when I was on a panel with the Rockefellers, they told the story that really hit home for me. They said their grandfathers were so concerned about the whales and really, really wondering about why we were using all of that whale fat for our gas lights. And they said, hey, this black stuff is just coming up out of the ground. Why don't we use that? And so what they were able to say was that their grandfathers would actually be really upset right now if they knew that we had not turned to another form of energy, knowing the damage that fossil fuels is doing to our planet. And they actually have made the pledge to divest.
That's a really powerful story. You think about family foundations and coming together and just reflecting on the values of why they're in the position they're in now And how are those values carrying through to their investments, to the grant making, to how they operate as a family? There's so much in that story, I think.
There absolutely is. And then depending on the mission of the foundation, sometimes you really do need those investment dollars to help. So if your mission is about reducing the effects of climate change, the time to act is now. And there's a lot of alternative energy that really needs our investment right now. Similarly, if you're interested in solving some of our big healthcare issues like AIDS and HIV, a lot of that work, in addition to the grant making, is happening on the biotech side. And so using those dollars to invest and get those businesses off the ground and into the market is really what we're after.
Did you ever have any moment of pause or reflection for being so public and signing something? So many private foundations are private, but you've been taking this more active, more vocal and visual role.
I really find that transparency is what is missing from our financial markets. And so to the extent that we in the foundation world can be more transparent about what our investments are, I think it'll be really helpful for us in transforming our whole economy.
So it's just interesting, too. So you're very transparent, and then you're on a conference panel with the Rockefellers telling this wonderful story that I just find so surprising, too. And it makes you really pause and think about the choices that we're all making in a lot of different investments.
Absolutely. And I think really the first is to become aware as a foundation board of what the investments are. Sometimes we are so siloed, and the grant making meetings happen in the morning and the investment meetings happen in the afternoon, and it's often a different set of people. So to break down that firewall and to have people come together and say, we're really on the same team, and how can we all work to achieve our foundation goals with every dollar that we have in the foundation?
You know, impact investing is gaining in popularity, and I've been hearing it much more so from the next generation in particular. So I'm curious about your advice. So there's a next gen person who's really excited about it, being engaged in the Family Foundation. They're learning more about impact investing, and they want to move the foundation towards more of that, particularly in their portfolio. What advice do you have for that person?
Well, so there's several entry points, and it can be tricky when, particularly the younger generation that may not have the clout in the Family Foundation.
Exactly.
One thing I sometimes suggest is to start with the cash, because no one really minds and no one's really watching. So the cash is a great place to start, because you can have so much impact and you're really not going to alter your returns very much. We have such a low return on cash. Why not use that as an impact investment? And so your local community banks are a great place to start. Another organization I love that does amazing loans for organic businesses and schools is RSF. And they have a fantastic track record. So that's something that I suggest people look at. If it's not starting with the cash, maybe it's starting with an issue that you're all aligned with, so much so that the family is excited about the grant making, and then you maybe find an investment that enhances that grant that everyone can get on board. But starting small is usually the key. Watching, being patient, and bringing people on board with one investment at a time.
Those are really great points. Good advice. Is there an investment that you're particularly proud of?
Oh, gosh. There are so many. I love portfolio. Let's see. I'm really involved with the Hub movement, which is co-working spaces. And it's really bringing a space and a community together of change makers and nurturing those young entrepreneurs who really want to change the world. So that has been really exciting for me. And I'm actually a co-founder of the Hub in Oakland. And that's been really exciting. Watching what happens, the transformation that happens in those communities, and then also the environmental aspects of bringing people together to work together and the synergies that happen there has been really exciting.
So hopefully we've inspired some of our listeners to take action. What's the next step? So someone who's listened to our podcast and they want to get involved, what's the first thing they should do?
So one event that I find so incredibly helpful is the Confluence Philanthropy Conference, and it's coming up next March, and it will be in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And that is such a wonderful learning environment of peers that I recommend that to anyone who really wants to enter this space. And for those of us that are in it, we get so much out of it.
And is Confluence Philanthropy just focused on impact investing? Is that what the whole conference will be about?
It really is. It's really about helping foundations in particular look at their endowments and see how they can be more effective with their investing.
So whether you're new to this or have been, you know, dipping your toe in the water as far as impact investing goes, Confluence Philanthropy is a great recommendation.
We love that.
Great. Well, Kristen, thank you for joining me in the studio today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
To learn more about this segment of Forward Thinking and our work at Foundation Source, please visit our resources page at foundationsource.com. While you're there, tell us what you thought of this segment and who you'd like to hear on a future one. We'd love to hear from you. Our podcast is produced by Gabrielle Galanek. I'm your host, Dori Krieger.